Law enforcement officials are investigating that infamous email sent in 2012 by powerful lobbyist Michael McLean to state officials that casually dropped in a mysterious reference to covering up a rape in Champaign. McLean is a central figure in a federal corruption probe into the utility giant ComEd. In the week since, Governor J.B. Pritzker's agriculture chief has resigned for not acting on the email 8 years ago. State Senator Bill Brady tells Ryan Denham that McLean's comments were horrific and reprehensible.
That people would use issues like this for political gain. We knew that the Quinn administration had been trying to cover up as best they could inmates that they released. I know in our campaign, as well as Governor Rauner's campaign with Quinn, they were trying to do that. But to cover up something of that serious magnitude, as well as the ghost payrollers, was just reprehensible. And we felt it best to call on the Illinois State Police to make sure that it was thoroughly investigated. I have communicated that, as I indicated in an interview last week, with the director of the state police, and they have taken the investigation up. We're going to be interested to see how that moves forward. There was unfortunately already one resignation within the Pritzker cabinet.
And this is John Sullivan, the agriculture secretary?
Yeah, the director of agriculture. And we don't know what else is going to come up. You know, Democratic offices, political offices, and government offices in the Chicagoland area, as well as Mr. McLean's office in Quincy, I don't know if it's dozens, but numerous offices have been raided by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And this is just another black eye on Illinois. The sooner the Federal Bureau of Investigation cleans this up, the better off the state will be. But justice needs to be served. And this last email that was leaked just is horrific. And the fact that there's a victim out there that needs to be protected as well is foremost in our mind.
So you mentioned John Sullivan's resignation. What do you think of Governor Pritzker's response to this so far?
Well, I think he's done what he needed to do. It appears that there's more that needs to be done. And we're going to make sure that illegal activities are dealt with and that improprieties trying to cover up illegal activities are dealt with as well.
What do you think a guy like Michael McLean and doing things like this, what does he kind of say about the culture of lobbyists and political connection and being able to pressure a pretty basic function of government in this way, you know, disciplining an employee?
It's terrible. And I've known Mike McLean for a number of years. And if I'd had any inclination that this is the kind of behavior that he associated with, I would have completely done things differently. I can't believe anybody doing this, but the fact that this has been documented into writing is impossible to refute. And this is just a terrible thing. And we've always questioned the backroom deals within the Democratic Party in this state as Republicans. Until this investigation and until WBEZ's release of this horrific actions, we weren't able to bring anything to fruition. And I think it all started, as I said, with the Federal Bureau of Investigation's raidings of several Democrat-associated or government offices, politically associated or government offices in the Chicagoland area and the Quincy area.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington, the Republican leader in the Senate. So, Senator Brady, I want to talk now about the Property Task Force, which I'm going to trip over saying about six times. The final report from that task force about how to ease the property tax burden in Illinois, that was due out December 31st. We haven't seen that yet, but we've seen a kind of a draft version that's been circulating. What do you think of what you've seen so far out of this task force?
Well, I've been disappointed. The co-chairs that we have had on there, Don DeWitt and Senator Jill Tracy, have worked hard to bring issues to fruition that could be managed and brought into this. There has not been an official report, to be clear. The initiated by one of the Democratic co-chairs, and I'd say my co-chairs were underwhelmed by the degree and the magnitude of the effort. We will discuss some options when we go back into Springfield about what needs to be done. I believe the best thing we can do for property taxes relief right now, which is foremost, I think, on the minds of the citizens of the state, is first, let's grow the economy and then commit those resources that the state receives and the savings the state receives from those resources to funding education and then in turn asking education to reduce the property tax burden, which is the biggest burden on families and businesses, reduce that in kind as some percentage of the burden that they place. But we've got to do some things to grow this economy. Now, we did that in a bipartisan capital bill last year that I think will work to grow the economy and be fruitful not only in the investment in Illinois' roads, bridges, public safety, and other infrastructures, both vertical and horizontal, but I think it'll also drive economic development and therefore revenues to the state of Illinois and reduce the burden of families who weren't able to find a livelihood, who will now be able to likely find a livelihood for their family. So there's a win-win in that. But more needs to be done. The challenges that much of this state faces in terms of economic development needs to be looked at. And one of the things that I was disappointed we didn't get to last session under the new governor was more economic development issues that need to be really at the forefront of our agenda. And as we grow our economy, committing ourselves to the resources to property tax relief through school funding has got to be one of our highest priorities that we can find.
But one idea that has emerged is expanding the sales tax base, essentially reducing the rate but expanding the things that it would apply to more, again, to help fund public schools. What do you think of that idea?
You know, I think we're already overtaxing people. And the message we need to send now is that Illinois is not going to continue to rely on taxing and borrowing, and which is why I go back to one of our main emphases will be in between now and November is telling the people the truth about the Democratic proposal to alter the state's constitution, eliminating a fair, flat provision in the Constitution for this progressive graduated tax, as they call it, a $3 billion tax increase that provides no protection for middle-income families in this state. So we believe that economic development is the way to fund government to meet our obligations, not raising tax rates. Now, if you want to look at a comprehensive look, that's different. But piecemeal doesn't work. But the gist of it is we have got to provide more economic incentive and development for job creators because those jobs they create pay taxes and grow our base, our economic base and the base revenues to the state of Illinois, all while reducing dependency on families, on state resources. So it's a win-win. And that emphasis has been lost, and it needs to be put to the forefront of our Illinois' future.
Well, speaking of the graduated income tax proposal, you're scheduled to appear Saturday at a roundtable discussion with the McLean County Republican Party about this. So I know that you think it's not a good idea. But what do you think is sort of the best argument against the graduated income tax to reach the electorate in the way that you want to how do you win, basically, in November?
This is not about protecting millionaire incomes, okay? This is about protecting middle-income families. And what we have seen, and even I believe it was Governor Cuomo who was quoted as saying, I thought I could tax the ultra-wealthy until I realized they could leave. And then he built a spending plan that forced him to go after middle-income families. And right now, we're losing too many middle-income families to other states because of our high property taxes and other costs associated with living in Illinois. So we can't threaten them with that. High-income individuals can relocate more easily than middle-income families. And there is no protection in this alteration, the quote-unquote progressive graduated income tax for middle-income families from a Democratic majority in Springfield. And if you, I haven't found many people who truly believe that the Democrats are going to protect their incomes from taxes, higher taxes across the board.
Well, Governor Pritzker pretty much ran on this idea. I mean, he was very open during the campaign. This is what he wanted, and he won, you know, fairly convincingly. Isn't that a sign that people want this, or at least very open to the idea?
Well, I think he has sold it in a way that some people might believe, and he might even believe. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at the history of politicians, and particularly Democratic Party politicians, you'll find that they are more than willing to reach into the taxpayer's pocket and take more money. There were other circumstances surrounding his election victory. I mean, Governor Pritzker spent a record $180 million on his own campaign. And Governor Rauner spent less than, I think, $50 million. So it was a very lopsided appeal. I believe the voters will reject when they're informed about the risks of this alteration. I believe that voters will reject it. The question is, can we overcome the Pritzker money when it comes to messaging the truth about the effects of this alteration?
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington, the Republican leader in the Senate. All right, we have gone 15 minutes without saying the word impeachment on NPR, so I'm legally obligated now to bring it up to you. You're a state official. Obviously, impeachment is a federal matter. However, you're also one of the top Republicans in our state. I'm curious as to what you make of the allegations that we've heard against the president, and also the way the process is actually playing out.
Well, as a concerned citizen and voter, I've tried to stay on top of this as much as I can, mostly through the media. Now, you could watch five different media channels and get five different stories, so it's hard to filter all that. I think this is a political game that in both sides isn't going to go anywhere. I don't think there's enough here to have taken the people of this country through this exercise. And I think Nancy Pelosi and her colleagues will pay the price for the game they've played. Will the hardcore Democrats have their back the whole way through? Yeah. And will the hardcore Republicans have President Trump's back? Yeah. But I think the independents and the moderates are saying, you know, this isn't about games. This is about moving our country forward. And these games don't do that. And whether you may not like some of the statements that President Trump makes or some of his tweets, we want a country that works for us. The president is doing a lot to make this country positioned better than we've seen in a long time, from tackling China on trade and other countries with some success, and as well as other innovations in healthcare and bringing jobs and economic development and the popularity of our economy, particularly within the stock market and people's return on their portfolio. So there's a lot of good things that are going out there. The Democrats are reaching for straws because they know they're up against a lot of good things that have happened in the last couple of years in this administration. But I think at the end of the day, this will backfire, particularly with independent and moderate voters, as they move toward selecting our next president.
In the more short term, though, I'm curious, were you troubled at all by any of the president's conduct on this Ukraine stuff?
You know, I it depends on what you can believe. I mean, as I said, used to be when I was in high school, you'd have three fairly accurate, nonpartisan, factual news stations nationwide, right? Mm-hmm. Now, as I said, you can pick up five different media outlets and they'll have five different twists to this story. Given the fact that I haven't heard any proof in anything that gives me reason to believe there was a conviction, is there more the president could have done maybe to protect himself from this? Maybe. But the Democrats have the power. They have the power of the United States House of Congress. And they're going to use that power to their political best interest, as they've proven. And how they spin that is up to them. I think is it indicated? It'll be interesting to see what kind of outcome there is in the Senate from a partisan level, and we'll go from there. But I feel that people believe that the president acted legally and ethically, but that, you know, there's always the tone in which the president sends certain messages isn't always as acceptable or politically correct as what people would like for it to be.
That's State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington, the top Republican in the Senate, speaking with Ryan Denham.